Permanently his own, who thinks an earthen image or the land of his birth is worshipable, or who sees a place of pilgrimage as merely the water there, but who never identifies himself with, feels kinship with, worships or even visits those who are wise in spiritual truth, such a person is no better than a cow or an ass. Purport. True intelligence is shown by one's freedom from false identification of the self, as stated in the Brihaspati Samhita. Agyata Bhagavad Dharma Manta Vijnana Samvidaha Naraste Gokara Gyeya Apibhupala Vanditaha. Men who do not know the principles of devotional service to the Supreme Lord should be known as cows and asses. Even if they are expert in technically analysing Vedic mantras and are adored by world leaders. An imperfect Vaishnava advancing toward the second class platform identifies himself with the sages who have established the true spiritual path, even while he still may have some inferior material attachments to body, family and so on. Such a devotee of the Lord is not a foolish cow or stubborn ass like the majority of materialists. But most excellent is the Vaishnava who has gained the special mercy of the Lord and broken free from the bondage of illusory attachments altogether. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, the words Bhoma Ijidhi, who thinks an image made of earth is worshipable, refer not to the deity form of the Supreme Lord in his temple, but to deities of demigods, and the words Yatirtha Buddhi Shalile, who sees a place of pilgrimage to merely the water there, refer not to sacred rivers like the Ganges or Jamuna, but to lesser rivers. Om Adhyanati Mirandasya Anjana Shalakaya Chakchur Militam Jena Tasmahe Sri Gurure Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam rupakadaham ahiyam dadati svapadantikam mukkam karoti vasalam pangum langhayate girim yatripatamaham bande shri gurum dinatarinam. This is an instruction by Krishna in glorification of the saintly persons who have arrived at Kurukshetra to have the darshan of the Lord and his associates. Krishna is underlining the importance of association with devotees. And in contrast, warning of the dangers of associating with persons who are not devotees. In this verse, we have a clear description of the mentality of persons who may appear to be religious, may appear to be devotional, may appear to be pious persons. Prabhupada explains in the, as is interesting, yesterday Lalita Bhaktiman's daughter, she's always full of questions. she said she's going to Nepal soon. So she said that in Nepal there are temples where people worship Bhagavati. Is it right? Bhagavati. And they take their animals to these. Sugadev can confirm this. They take animals to these places. They slaughter the animals and offer the blood of the animals to the deity. So, the leader was asking me, you know, what? Actually, she asked a very interesting question. She said, because I told her that, you know, Krishna's not actually pleased by this, and even the demigods are not pleased by this kind of worship, because it's pretty much, very much in the mode of ignorance. And she said, well, why don't the demigods appear, they're powerful persons, why don't they appear in the dreams of their devotees and tell them to stop doing this? I don't tell them to stop. And I'm at a point, I said, they don't want to stop. So, you know, Krishna, through the Vedic teachings, actually encourages these types of sacrifice. Interestingly enough, they are not meant for the bhaktas, for the devotees. This is why one needs, this is why the association of the devotees is so important, because in the Vedas there are many contradictory instructions and they need to be clarified as to who they apply to, because not all instructions are applicable for all people. Very important to understand this point. Prabhupada explains how the and I mentioned this in the Bhakti Shastri class the other day, because we're studying this point of sacrifice. And there are different Puranas, and the different Puranas are divided up into three groups. There's Puranas for those in the mode of ignorance, Puranas for those in the mode of passion, Puranas for those in the mode of goodness, and Puranas for those who are actually devotees. There's even a distinction between those in the mode of goodness and the Vaishnavas. And instructions in one set of scripture may not be appropriate for instructions in others, or for others. And so Krishna is explaining here how those persons who, and it's clarified in the purport by Vishwanath, quoting Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that those persons who worship the demigods and those persons who go to the sacred rivers and simply take bath there, thinking that that's all the worship and puja that they need to perform, and usually they're performing those sacrifices for material benefits. There are two different types of, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, there are two different purposes for performing sacrifice. You know, going to a sacred place, especially in the traditional sense, was a huge sacrifice. You know, people would travel for days or weeks or even months on foot. You still see it in Gujarat. In Maharashtra. You'll see people walking to Pandharpur to visit Vittal, and they're walking. Vittal is like the what would you call it? He's the deity of the Maharashtrians. Is that right? Yeah. And he's a beautiful deity, beautiful. It's an amazing temple to go and visit. Worth the effort to go and visit Vittal in Pandharpur. And the people are really nice there. The people are very, you know, I was surprised by the reception that we got, because, you know, in India you get all sorts of responses from people which are a devotee. But one thing I noticed in Pandharpur, there were people who would, they would see me, and I was with, we were with Damodar and Vrindavaneshwari. And of course, Chinchiripa looks like an Indian, so I look like the only Westerner. And there's one devotee there, and he saw me, and he just immediately paid his obeisances to me. I thought, wow. I mean, not, you know, just that's an unusual response to get from somebody in India. Not totally unusual, but. So it's a very, you can feel the atmosphere. The atmosphere is like Vrindavan. And on the Ekadasi days and in Kartik and at different times, you know, the pilgrims coming to Pandharpur, there's so many people coming to Pandharpur. What they've done is they have this tower outside the temple. And basically the tower is a set of stairs that go up to the top. It's about 5 stories high. And then they come all the way back down the bottom again. So when the queues get really long, they just make the people walk up this tower and then walk all the way down again, and then they can go and have darshan. And Dada told me, you know, one day they went to Pandharpur, I think it was in a, you know, a special day, and it took them all day to get darshan of the deity. And of course everybody that goes in gets an opportunity to put their head on the feet of Vittal. When we got there, there wasn't a queue, and it took about 5 minutes to walk in, and was actually very, we got a very quick, got darshan very quickly. So it's not unusual to see people walking to what do they call him? There's another name for him. Right. He's the king of Pandharpur. Yeah, Panduranath, maybe. I think there's another name for him. But anyway, it's not unusual. And these people, they will put aside days, if not weeks, to walk from their village to, you know, they have a flag, they usually carry a flag, and they chant. They chant the whole of the names of the Lord. Because they're following in the footsteps, I guess, of Tukaram, who was a famous, he's also a famous saint of Maharashtra. And he was into chanting the names of the Lord. So people traditionally in the Vedic culture would spend days and weeks out of their lives travelling to sacred places for ordinarily, well, certainly recommended for the devotees, travelling to a sacred place is for enhancing one's spiritual life. Not for a material benefit, but for a spiritual benefit. But people go to a sacred place for material benefits also. Or they'll worship the deity for a material benefit. Especially the demigods. Demigods generally approach for material boons. So people will perform these austerities of travelling to perform their puja and perform their worship so that they can get something for themselves. There's material benefit. Devotees are different, as is mentioned in the purport. Even if a devotee has an attachment, it's mentioned here, even if a Madhyam Bhakta has a bit of an attachment for material things, they're not considered as on the same level as those persons who worship the demigods and go to these places, sacred places, for performing sacrifices so that they can get some material amelioration. And that's what's being criticised here, or shall we say, you know, outlined or underlined here, that such persons with that mentality who think that worshipping the worshipping the deity for material benefit or taking bath in a sacred river is the goal, they're considered to have a mentality, you know, that mentality of just getting some material benefit, that mentality is considered to be no better than the mentality of a cow or an ass. We don't see asses here in Australia very often. But in India you get to see the asses and you hear them too. You're like, yo. And they have that when they make their noise and they sound like a Mack truck with a turbo on it. Because they blow this, they got this sort of like hissing sound that comes out of their nose. It's great. Then they go, eeyore. And you know, asses and cows are not known for their intelligence. That's why they're being used as examples here. So this is the kind of mentality. The mentality rotates around, what is it? It's mentioned here. Svadhi. They have the idea kalatravishu bhoma ijadi, that my land, the place of my birth, is worshipable. And my family is the all in all. And so they're simply working for the material benefits that can be accrued for themselves, for their family, and, you know, country. I am an Australian, I love my country. This is our motto. I am an Australian, I love my country. Well, this is considered to be the mentality of a ass. Ass-like mentality. And you see it. The Aussies win the cricket. Yay! The Indians win the cricket. Yay! We've achieved Vaikuntha. We beat the Aussies. Everybody in India, when I went there, they were very happy about the fact that the Indians won the one-day series. They invested so much time and effort in, you know, watching the series, they feel that that's their just dessert to win. But this is considered to be foolish, this kind of mentality. Even if they appear to be pious, this is the point, we have to be discriminating. Devotees have to be discriminating. Even amongst devotees, there has to be some form of discrimination. Lord Chaitanya says that anybody who chants the name of Krishna is respectable. Lord Chaitanya says everybody should be respected. Trinadupi sanichena tarorupi sahishnana amanana manadina. Kirtaniya Sadahari, we should be respectful to everybody. But by the same token, we should also understand where the mentality of everybody, you know, of each person is situated, and deal with them respectfully but appropriately according to our position and to their position. So, you know, it's basically recommended that the devotees be careful in dealing with these ass and cow-like men. We have to be careful because, you know, they appear to be polished. Here it said, you know, they may be expert in technically analysing the Vedic mantras. They may be adored by the populace. Right? Because we're not usually surrounded by people who are technically proficient in studying the Vedas. But we're surrounded by people who are enamoured by, you know, the wealth, the technology, the facilities that are provided in Western culture. And people praise such persons. Oh, you've got the latest mobile phone. You've got the latest computer. You've got the latest Mercedes-Benz or whatever. And it's easy to become bewildered by that kind of association. Yes, he's a wonderful man, now he's driving a Mercedes-Benz. Oh, that's really advanced. So we need to identify the person's position in relationship to devotional service and then associate with such persons accordingly. So generally speaking, the devotees would avoid this kind of association, generally speaking. But even still, in relationship to the devotees, there has to be care. There has to be some discrimination. There has to be some care. There are those who chant Hare Krishna, and so they should be respected as devotees, but if they're still attached to material activities and are unable to follow the process of sadhana, then such devotees also, kanishta, bhaktas, they're also generally avoided. Their association is generally avoided by the sadhakas. Because by association, just as the association of saintly persons is very potent and very powerful, so similarly also the association of persons too attached to material things is also dangerous, because it can, you know, reignite the fires of passion within the heart of a devotee. So that generally that's avoided. Although it is pointed out here that some devotees on the second class platform, that's a Majjhima Bhakta, they may have some attachment to material things, but because they're sadhakas, because they're on the path of devotional service, that's why Krishna mentions apichet sudaracharo bhajade mamananya bhak sadureva samantabhya samyagivyava sitohi saha. They are to be respected still, even if there's some attachment. It's mentioned. Such a devotee of the Lord is not a foolish cow or a stubborn ass, like the majority of materialists. There's a difference. If there's too much attachment to material things and there's breaking of the regulative principles, attachment to, you know, really gross material activities, and that kind of devotional association, we avoid it as much as possible. We avoid it. We may be kind to such devotees, but that behaviour, we have to avoid that kind of association. But for the devotees who are on the second class platform, who are following the process of devotional service, they may exhibit some symptoms of attachment, but that's overlooked. It's overlooked by Krishna, it's overlooked by the Vaishnavas. And what is magnified or appreciated is their devotional service. Because generally speaking, those devotees are engaged in devotional service, pretty much constant devotional service. And so there may be some remnants of material attachment, but that it's understood that in due course of time that will be dissolved by the purifying devotional service. Of course, it's mentioned here, most excellent is the Vaishnava who has got the special mercy of Krishna and is free from any attachment. And such a person is worshipable, actually, by the devotees. All persons should be respected, but some should be avoided, and some should be associated with, and others who are very dear to the Lord and very close to Krishna, who receive Krishna's special mercy and are free from attachment to material things, and such devotees can be even worshipped because they are acting as Krishna's representatives. Especially if they're acting as Krishna's representatives. So, this false identification with the body as the self. This is basically the qualification of the ass and cow-like men. Is considered to be very unfortunate. Very unfortunate. And in the association of the devotees, one can break that misconception. That attachment for material things can be broken. So that's why we come together. That's why Prabhupada established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is so that we can come together and break our attachments to material things. Or shall we say, breaking might denote some hurt, perhaps, or some loss even. But we want to detach ourselves from that which is anatta. It is unnecessary, it is not required for success in life. Whereas the materialistic mentality is, I have to have these things in order for me to be successful. But the history demonstrates that attachment to material things ultimately leads to distress. Because everything in the material world is finite. Adhyakravanta kuntaya na teshu ramate buddha. Those who are intelligent. Buddha. Here we have buddha. This is buddhi or dhi is described. It's an idea or it's a concept. This concept that the body is everything. But the body is not everything. The body is a very temporary and finite facility. And so therefore, in the association of the devotees, we're encouraged to cultivate this understanding. The material body and the facilities and the accoutrement in French, the attachments that we have, cultivate, gather. They don't give us pleasure. Why not? Adi, anta. They have a beginning, adi, and anta, end. Adyanta mantukunteya na teshu ramate buddha. So the buddha, or the intelligent, those who have the right conception, they don't look for pleasure in those things. Ramate means to get pleasure. There is no pleasure in those things. There's temporary pleasure. There is pleasure in the material world. But as the Vedas point out, that pleasure is simply some temporary cessation of the suffering. So the devotees are encouraged, they learn how to tolerate the comings and goings, because these things, they'll come and go. Devotees learn to be tolerant of the comings and goings of the material world. You'll have money in your bank account, and the money will go out of your bank account. Right? We'll be happy to see the money go in, but then we'll be unhappy to see the rent, the gas, the electricity, the insurance policy, the children's school fees, the books, the clothes. So, you know, payday we think, ah, fantastic, all this money. And then throughout the week we just watch it all go down. So this is the nature of the material world. It comes and it goes. So the devotee is going to cultivate this detachment. I read an interesting letter the other day. Prabhupada, there's a website where they put letters that Prabhupada wrote on that particular day. It's very instructive. Anyway, it was after Prabhupada had his typewriter and his Bhagavad Gita manuscript stolen. which, you know, Prabhupada must have spent a lot of time writing that manual. Prabhupada wrote the Bhagavad Gita twice. Bhagavad Gita as it is was written twice because the original manuscript that he created for the Bhagavad Gita was stolen. And this was all typed, you know, it was either written by hand or it was typed out, you know. So Prabhupada had his typewriter, his Bhagavad Gita manuscript stolen, and he said, you know, he said, well, Krishna gave me the typewriter and Krishna took it away. I thought, well, that's pretty detached, pretty transcendental. Right? Krishna gave it to me and Krishna took it away. So that's the kind of mood that we have to cultivate as devotees. We may pray to Krishna to make us a success. And Krishna will make us a success as he desires. He may or he may not make us a success. And he may also make us failures. But we have to remain equipoised in all of that. We don't worship Krishna to get material success. Or to get material, any kind of facility actually. We worship Krishna so that we can be engaged in his service. I was just reading another letter that Prabhupada wrote today, and he said, our purpose for studying is to make spiritual advancement, is to catch the spiritual mood, and so therefore we have